Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Injustice Radar podcast with your disappointed host, Michael Terabay.
I had no choice going to a military high school. I was basically told, you're going. I wanted to go to the public school that was literally across the street from our neighborhood, but it wasn't going to happen. So after going to Catholic school most of my life up till then, I wanted to be free of it all. But my father upped the scales and signed me up for this day school, a Roman Catholic Junior ROTC high school that started at 8:04 a.m. in the morning and ended like 3-something in the afternoon. I was thrown in the deep end, but quickly learned to survive and take advantage. This is Season 1, Episode 11. Okay, let's get right into this one. I'm not sure if hazing is still allowed in schools like this or some watered down equivalent, but I'll explain what this high school was like in the 80s. This was probably, let's see, September 83 to probably May of 87. That seems right. I think that's 4 years. Okay. As a freshman, you're ranked a private, obviously, with nothing but a name tag on your uniform. All right. So, freshmen in this school could be hazed till, I want to say it was St. Patrick's Day. So it was almost the whole school year. But only seniors can haze freshmen. And because the school was so small and cost a decent amount, a senior was usually assigned two freshmen. Since the seniors ended up being the smallest class, the freshman was the largest, of course. And that's usually how it was. It's the largest freshman class, and then it tapered off to senior class. What is hazing? Well, in this school, the seniors could tell a freshman, any freshman, what to do within limits. They could tell them to do push-ups, deep knee bends, jumping jacks, run around and pretend you're a plane, sing the fight song to the Catholic all-girls high school students down the street, memorize and recall school history and rules, etc., etc. They gave us this book that we had to know by heart upon being asked. So yeah, there would probably be push-ups involved because no one could memorize all of that. And I doubted even the seniors knew everything that was in that book. Seniors often had their freshmen learn their class schedule and their locker combo, believe that or not, and meet them after his class outside the door with his books for the seniors' next class, and then take the books from the seniors' last class to be put back in his locker. The seniors' locker. So imagine that. You're finishing your class as a freshman. You still don't know your way around the school. And not only that, you have to race out of your class and get to your senior's class with the books that he's going to need for that next class, and then hold on to what he gave you to put back in his locker. And this went out throughout the day. Now here's the problem with this. There were three stories, and each floor had a green gaff tape that was laid down about 2 feet from the walls in each corridor of the hallways, from the entrance to that floor all the way down to the other end. Maybe I should explain this again. Okay. If a freshman walks out of a classroom, he'll see a long green tape line on the floor that he'll have to stay inside of 2 feet from the wall all the way down to the other end. It's kind of like a mini HOV lane for freshmen, except all the rest of the upperclassmen can walk freely in the huge open spacious middle of the hallway. So if a freshman had a class literally on the opposite side of the hallway, he had to walk all the way down to the end of the hall, turn around, and come back. And to make this more interesting, some seniors would straddle the green line so the freshmen bunched up in a traffic jam behind them. How do you like them apples? Let's talk sports. All freshmen were required to go to all sporting events. If they couldn't get there, it was up to their seniors to get them there. Here we learned all the fight songs. Imagine going to a basketball game and your opponents were this military high school. Over 100 freshmen with some seniors singing and cheering the whole time nonstop. One senior would have a clipboard and each freshman would have to check in each quarter to show that they were there. He would check your name off. If you didn't have checks for all the quarters, it wouldn't be good for you when school started back again. I will say our basketball team won a lot of championships. And often the state's best teams from public schools wouldn't want to play us because we were good at ruining their rankings. Because when you're in a Catholic school, you have to play the other Catholic schools. And there's usually not enough. So you have to play all the way across the state, and you try to get some public schools to play you. So, what happens when a freshman didn't go to a game? Oh, God. Well, after the morning formation was dismissed, they'd call all the freshmen to the middle of the parking lot, and a lot of push-ups and other things would commence. The whole class would be paying for the actions of a few freshmen that didn't show up. So what happened to them? Oh, you know, so-and-so doesn't think he has to go to the games and support the school, blah, blah, blah. So they'd bring a chair out and maybe some water for them, and they'd sit there, the freshmen that didn't go to the game, in a chair with water. Some seniors would pretend like they're fanning them off with their books while the whole class suffered, doing push-ups and all kinds of other demeaning things. But what do you think happened during the rest of the day to those freshmen? Oh yeah, exactly. After about 2 months of school, every freshman knew every other freshman. Hazing could be rough, but starting school being able to do zero push-ups, it didn't take long to be doing 50 at a time easily. And in addition to the hazing and the forced school spirit at games, we all had to go to a dance early in the year called the Freshman Hop. Imagine being that young. I mean, you just started shaving, even though you had nothing to shave on your face. And now you're going through a class list of girls you don't know from the sister school. And wait, do I even know how to dance? Ah, and even later in the year, you had to cold call and ask for a date to another dance. It was insane. Remember, there's no cell phones or Facebook, Instagram, nothing. I mean, they haven't even taken pictures for a yearbook yet. You didn't know who they were. But this high school had a great reputation for education, and I admit applying for college and getting in wasn't a problem after 4 years there. But yeah, it did make you grow up fast. To this day, I have a love and hate relationship with uniforms and rules. As an INTJ, it's definitely a conundrum. I hate being told what to wear and definitely don't like to follow rules that I don't think are right or necessary if there's a better way to do something. But then again, I find much of what I wear today is kind of like a uniform, but of my own making. It's efficient and easy and stops the indecision of what to wear every day. I still lay clothes out the night before and make lists of what needs to be done. I know what a gig line is, and I get disappointed when I see someone looking sloppy and the gig line is off. You can Google what that is on your own. I like to be on time, and it does bug me when others can't be on time for whatever reason. So there have been many little things that have stayed with me, but in my own way. Keep in mind, I hated going there. I tolerated it and signed up for all the competition drills and got good grades. I went to squad leader school right before my sophomore year started and became a staff sergeant that year. I continued to enter all the marching drills and did well. And when that year ended, I was awarded Sergeant First Class and assigned to headquarters in personnel. So things are moving up. And that was junior year. Now, my senior year, I beat out another junior in headquarters doing the same job. And so senior year, I was promoted to S5 major in charge of all personnel. All the records of all the students, the demerits, everything. And now I had two Sergeant First Class juniors under me doing all the legwork that I had to do the previous year. Now, here we go. So, I'm a senior. So it's payback now, right? For all that hazing years ago? Yeah, a little. I took care of my freshman and got him out of a lot of stuff, but he did have to memorize and tell me in order all of the Iron Maiden records released. That was my way of getting back. I did give him advice, and this is very, very important advice here. During that time of year when you're getting hazed as a freshman in the fall, it's still warm. So I told him, when you line up with everyone else, be close to the painted parking lines in the parking lot during the class hazing, because when it's hot, if you put your hands for push-ups on the street, they'll burn and you'll get rock indentations in your palms. Believe me. Be close to the white painted lines. They were smooth and it was slightly cooler to put your hands there when you're doing push-ups. Ah, so there you go. I want to end this about an English teacher I had my freshman year and again for my senior year. By the way, all the teachers were coaches. It was never Mr. blah, blah, blah. It was always coach. This English teacher was tough and strict. All the tests and quizzes were pop. There were no clues when we had them. Some were on the spot because someone was talking and not paying attention. If someone did that, he'd say, take out a sheet of paper and number it 1 to 10. Then he'd put up some verbs to conjugate and a sentence to diagram. Man, I don't miss that at all. God forbid if you were late or talking or didn't have your pencil or supplies or your book, he'd look at you and say, -1 off your 6 weeks average. Ouch. There was this one time a kid fell asleep on his desk, literally asleep, laying down on his desk. The coach got up from his desk, put his finger over his mouth to say no one say anything. He walked over and picked the whole desk up in the air and let it go, slamming the kid down to the ground. So he never slept in class again. I don't even think he came back the next year. And then once he got himself settled back in the desk again, he looked back at the student and goes, -1 off your 6 weeks average. He had us write 2 one-page book reports, and a third book report was always said in class. This was every couple of weeks we had to do this. You got really good at reading every night, and to this day, I do read a lot of books. And of course, you improve a lot by speaking in front of others. By the time I had a speech class in college, it was pretty easy. Okay, one last teacher story. I just remembered this. I had a trig class my junior year, and the class was complaining about a test we were having. Like literally mumbling and complaining out loud during the test. So the coach said, fine, you want a curve? Then he said he was getting some coffee and he left the classroom for 5 minutes. This same teacher, his first day teaching us about gravity, while he's talking, sipping a cup of coffee, he drops it on the floor, breaking it and coffee spraying everywhere. Then he says, this is gravity. This is the school I went to. I don't know if there are still high school teachers or schools like this anymore, forcing you to grow up and be men, to be leaders and not to wear diapers, so to speak, later in life, to get over things and to get things done. Also learning to be decent people. But these few stories I've told are only a small part of them. I mean, I could go on, but this is plenty. Thanks for listening to the Injustice Radar Podcast. Follow on Instagram and Twitter at Injustice Radar. For more of this INTJ personality. Stay safe.